Well, this evening, as we continue looking at the doctrine of preaching from God's Word, let's turn in the Scriptures to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, and also, if you keep your finger there also, and go to Colossians and chapter 1, which are a few books after that, a few letters after that. 2 Corinthians 5. And we'll be reading verses 18 through 21. And Colossians chapter 1, and we'll there be reading at the end of the chapter. But first we're going to read in 2 Corinthians 5. And before we read God's Word, let's pray to the Lord. Our Father, thank You for Your Word. What a great blessing it is that You have seen fit in Your great eternal love towards Your children to allow us to hear it. You've given us the great privilege to hear it, the honor to hear it. And so, Father, help us now as we hear it once again to bless Your people, to grow us in faith, and to grow us in righteousness. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 5, and beginning in verse 18, reading to the end of the chapter, these are the words of the Lord. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. And those are God's words. Then if we turn in Colossians in chapter 1, and we'll be reading verses 21 through 29. Colossians 1, verses 21 through 29, and these also are God's words. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, for the sake of His body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to His saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. Those are God's words. And 2 weeks ago we began thinking about the question, what is preaching? We hear preaching all the time when we come to worship the Lord our God. And so we asked that question, why, and we learned why it is important to study the doctrine or the teaching of Scripture of preaching. Because God has revealed it to us, right? And all Scripture is breathed out by God. It's profitable for us, right? 2 Timothy teaches us. Because we need to be able to hear well also the preaching of God's Word. So we will believe and follow the Lord. Because you want to be blessed, right? And He gives you preaching to be blessed. Because you must grow in discernment. And so that we know what preaching is, so that we will desire to hear it and not some false notion of what preaching is that attempts, as Paul tells Timothy, to tickle the ears. We don't want the preaching that tickles ears. We want the preaching that is true from God's word alone. And we learned preaching is not based upon, the last time we learned, it's not based upon what one looks like or how well of a speaker he is or how one speaks. It could be the most dull and boring preacher, but if he's preaching the word of God, it is, God says through Paul, it is the power of God, even unto salvation. And so now this evening we look at the goal of preaching. What's the goal of preaching? What should it accomplish? What is the end of preaching? What is the chief end of man? We asked that question this morning and heard the answer. The man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's the same goal of preaching. That's the same goal of every little doctrine that you find in Scripture. Because all things are to glorify God, that we would then, from seeing that and hearing about God, enjoy Him forever. Preaching is designed not to bring glory to you. There's many preachers, sadly, in the church who come and they stand before people and they speak in a way to tickle ears, yes, but also to be liked by the people, or to be raised up and exalted by the people. But preachers are not such people. True preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, they are not such people. Preaching is designed not to glorify you, not to glorify me, not to exalt you, not to exalt me, but to glorify the Father, to glorify the Son, and to glorify the Holy Spirit. And as we heard this morning, to glorify the Son, to glorify God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Preaching is designed by God to glorify God. And so that's the first point this evening. The first goal, the primary goal, the greatest goal of preaching is the glory of God. The glory of God. First and foremost, beloved, preaching is given and is used to the glory of the Lord. Now the passages we read, those are going to cover the second and third points. The first point, we look here at the passage we didn't read, but it is from Isaiah 52, verse 7. Isaiah 52, verse 7, it says, "How beautiful upon the mountains our feet are the feet of Him who bring good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns." The Lord reigns. He is exalted. He is King. And you see that everything in preaching, even the preaching of the gospel, which is preaching, the preaching of true peace and salvation, as it says there in Isaiah 52, verse 7, and salvation that's found in Christ alone, boils down to this. It is all for the glory of God. Your Lord reigns. Amen. Cotton Mather said this, a theologian from a long time ago. He said, "The great design of a Christian preacher is to restore the throne and dominion, or to use the word of Isaiah, the reign of God in the souls of men." There's a problem in this world. Because of sin and the fall of man, man by nature believes that he reigns. There's a major problem in the church to do the same way. That man believes by nature that he reigns. And that struggle is what we prayed about in our flesh that keeps battling against the Spirit. We want to say in our flesh, we reign. I reign. And yet that's why we have preaching, so that every week, every Lord's Day, we come and hear, "No, you don't. The Lord reigns." You believe that you reign, and God says no. Even as Christians, our naturally fleshly tendency or temptation is to fall into that again and again, and it happens every time we sin. We say from our heart, "I am God. I reign over me. I reign over my life. I am in control. I can save myself. I can keep myself saved by my good works, by my going to church." And we could go on and on with the ways that you deem yourself as God all the time. Even for the unbeliever, the non-Christian, they always believe and live this way. Thankfully for the Christian, we don't always live and believe that way. But for the unbeliever, that is true. when they hear differently, when they hear the gospel, when they hear the Lord reigns. As we hear the gospel through preaching, they say, no, 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 no. Your God is just a fairy tale. Your God is not real. And if He is real, He's just one of many gods, which implies He is no God. No, I'm rational enough, we say, or the unbeliever says, no, I'm rational enough to decide who is God and who is not. If there is a God and if there is not, that's my decision. I'm smart enough, I'm experimental enough, I'm God. And right now, if you believe that, then you are in for a rude awakening before our holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Because there is one God, and He's revealed to us in the Holy Scriptures of the Word of God. And though it appears foolish and weak in our eyes, He's given us preaching. Preaching. The ministry of preaching to declare to you and to all throughout the world that you do not reign, but God alone reigns. He is the Lord over all. That you don't reign, that you are not God, but there is one God, and He is creator of all things, and He reigns over all things. Your God reigns. And the preacher is to preach the truth of the Word of God, so that above all other things, and that in all things, one clear truth is heard and known, the Lord reigns. As we've heard a couple weeks ago, and even this morning, Christ reigns. He is King of kings. He's Lord of lords. He's God of gods. He's ruler of rulers. And the Lord is saying there in Isaiah, and saying throughout the Scriptures, that He will not suffer His name to be trampled in the dirt indefinitely. Unbelievers might do it here and there, all the time, but it will not be forever. He will vindicate the glory of His great name as Creator, as King, as He who is Lord of creation, Lord of all justice. He has absolute rights over your life and the life of every person on the face of the earth and all the universe, and every person who hears preaching. Every single one of you who hears preaching remains in sin or has remaining sin. And in that way, all of you who hear the preaching of the Word of God and in rebellion against the Lord, against Jesus Christ. And He says, don't be a rebel in the face of our Lord and King Jesus Christ. All rebels who live and say, I will not bow before the throne of Jesus Christ. I will not bow to this King. But then preaching comes. And through preaching, you're going to hear it over and over and over and over again. The Lord reigns. Christ reigns. God reigns. And He reigns over you. And so come and bow your knee to the King. What does He say in Isaiah? He says in Isaiah 48 verses 9 and following, He says, for My name's sake, I will defer My anger. And for My praise, I will restrain it from you, so that I do not cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For My own sake, I will do it. For how should My name be profaned? And I will not give My glory to another. See how the Lord repeated over and over that phrase, for My own sake. For My own sake, I will do it. For how should My name be profaned? For My name's sake. For My glory. He will not allow that to continue. Christ's name will not be profaned. He says, I will not give My glory to another. Preaching comes and is heard that our God in Christ receives all the glory. So 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5. Says, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. You know the word bondservants is that word slave. We're at service under Christ's authority for you, the people, and for His name. We preach literally, it says, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus Lord. We often see that verse and we think, we don't preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, or Christ Jesus is Lord. And literally it says, Christ Jesus, Lord. Lord. There's no time, there's no room to put the verb in there, or definite article in there. Christ Jesus, Lord. There's no time to do that. Who are we? We are bondservants. Preachers are bondservants. Christ Jesus, Lord, is our message. And that passage goes on and says, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light to the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That goes back to what we heard this morning. The glory of Jesus Christ bringing in His face the knowledge of the glory of God to us. So the ultimate preaching, the ultimate goal of preaching should be and is the glory of God. That all would bow before Him who sits on the throne, that all would exalt and praise His name and serve Him. And that's what heaven will be like. Worship and glory to the Lord forever. And preaching is that instrument of the Lord's to declare His glory and call all to bow the knee unto Him and give Him the glory. The second point this evening, the goal of preaching is the conversion of sinners to Christ. The conversion of sinners to Christ. And to clarify its place, the conversion of sinners to Christ is unto a greater goal, to glorify the Lord. To glorify Christ Himself and to glorify God. The conversion of sinners to Christ. So in the passage we read, 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 21, we have this clearly shown. Of course, as most of you know, there's many other passages that show this forth, that the goal of preaching is the conversion of sinners to Christ. But there it says, now all things are of God who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation is preaching. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. It says that Paul and the other apostles, as preachers, have been given the ministry of reconciliation. That preaching is designed to call sinners to be reconciled to the Lord because of their sin. There's that great divide. The man is fallen and in sin, and therefore on their way to eternal damnation. And there needs to be reconciliation between God and man. And so Christ comes to reconcile man to God through His life and death. And so that preaching then is designed to call sinners to the gospel, to be reconciled to the Lord through Jesus Christ. So how? Through the gospel, verse 19. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, not accounting to them their sins. And the wages of sin is death. Not accounting to them their sin, which leads to death, but rather that sin was imputed or accounted to Christ, though He was perfect. And unto them, the sinners who believe, are accounted righteousness, which is Christ. And so they be saved and reconciled. Isaiah 52. Verse 7, we think of when preaching occurs, there's a preaching of the gospel, the proclaiming of the good news. And in Isaiah 52, verse 7, we read, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of Him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who bring glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. So preaching's goal is to proclaim the only way to be saved. The only way of receiving peace and being reconciled and having peace, good tidings that is, good news of good things, that only comes through Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Him. And the greater goal of preaching the gospel of peace is, as it says there, the glory of God, that your God reigns. And so you must therefore come to the throne and bow the knee to Him and humble yourselves. Give up your false kingship of yourself and whatever you might else find in the world, and lay that all aside and come to the Lord through your coming to Christ. And God the Son, Jesus Christ, was sent by God and came into the world, it says, to reconcile the world to Himself. And He does that, as we've already heard, through the keeping of all of God's commandments perfectly without sin, where you could not and have not, you've all sinned and we've all sinned, and dying He did on the cross as the just punishment of your sins, of all those who believe on Him. And then He rose from the dead. And you must come to the Lord through Christ, through that gospel that's preached, that good news that you just heard, and Christ alone. Come to Him alone. That's the only way you'll be reconciled to God who is holy, through Christ. This is the ministry of the word of reconciliation that has been committed to all who preach God's word. And so as a summary, Paul says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, and we might become the righteousness of God in Him. So all preachers are ambassadors. Right? We don't have our own message. The message alone is found in God's Word. It's the gospel, the good news. We're set before, preachers are set before all who hear to plead with you, it says, to implore you, be reconciled to God. Through Christ alone. What greater love is shown through Christ than that the Lord wants you, implores you to turn unto Him from your sin through Jesus Christ. And that gospel, that salvation is free for you. You don't have to pay anything. You don't have to do anything. You must come. He wants you to be reconciled to Him. He wants you to believe the glorious gospel that we've heard. And when we're given that promise, you're given that promise. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, will be saved. And we remember that our God says what? He desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And so how? Call upon the name of the Lord. Be reconciled to God through Christ Jesus. And Romans 10 says, another passage we could go to. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God that's preached. There must be preaching, and our God in Christ has graciously given preaching to this world who hates Him and despises Him. And in the eyes of the world, the preaching of the word of God is foolish and weak, and that's why even in the church, sadly, you see many pastors come up and they entertain the people. They preach a message that is a little bit about the Word of God and a lot of about this world. Tickling ears. But that is not what we are called to preach. But we are called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to the eyes of the world is foolish, and it is weak. But to those who are called, it says, both Jews and Greeks, all people, that is, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. The goal then of preaching is the conversion of sinners to Christ, and that as you come to faith in Christ is unto a greater goal of the glory of God. And we know also, if you reject Christ, if you don't turn and you do not bow before His throne, then still preaching is unto the glory of God. And He will show forth His perfect justice at the right time, either for you who are in Christ or upon you on the last day in the great judgment. Then the third goal. We go to Colossians chapter 1. Remembering the ultimate goal is the glory of God. The third goal of preaching is the holiness of God's children. The holiness of God's children. And this third point is one people like to probably debate a lot, to not get into, because when you get to this point in the church and preachers who are man-pleasers get some flack because people in the church say, what? Stop meddling with me. Now you're dealing with me and my sin. Stop meddling with me. But preaching the Word of God meddles. And it gets into your life. And so it's not only, preaching is not only concerned with the gospel unto justification, it's also preaching of the gospel is unto sanctification, or cleansing of our sin, holiness before the Lord, as we are to be holy as He is holy. And so pursue that. And so Colossians 1, verse 21, it says, "And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled." There's that language we heard from the second point and from 2 Corinthians. Through the ministry of reconciliation, Christ has now reconciled those who have believed and turned from their wicked works. And goes on, at the end of verse 21, "Yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister." And so the Lord's servant, Paul, being a minister, a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, has been so that you continue in the faith. He keeps preaching to the church. He's not leaving the church and going out into the world and just preaching so that sinners come unto Christ. He stays in the church and he preaches to the people in the church, so that you continue in the faith. It's like the parable of the seed that goes onto the ground that we heard earlier. So that you're not one of those who is, when tribulation or trial comes up, you're burned up. His preaching so that you'd be grounded, steadfast. It's so you won't be moved away from the hope of the gospel. And Paul continues, verse 24, "I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of His body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God which was given to me for you to fulfill the Word of God." He's a preacher to preach to fulfill the Word of God. That is verse 26, "The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to His saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." How does that come about? Through preaching. "To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that, there's the purpose, so that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to His working which works in me mightily. The goal of preaching is to preach Christ, warning every man and woman and teaching every man and woman in all wisdom from the Scriptures, so that the preacher may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, to bring about sanctification and holiness and faithfulness and righteousness unto the Lord, so that you would be that living sacrifice, holy and pleasing and acceptable unto Him. Now verse 29, to this end, that's the goal, he says. That's why Paul labors. That's why Paul and every preacher today must labor for the holiness of God's children. And so that preaching has been given by our Lord to bring about the salvation of God's children, not merely justification and adoption made a child of God, but sanctification, holiness, unto glorification. The goal of preaching, as we've covered, is for the conversion of sinners unto Christ, the holiness of those converted who are now the children of God. And all of it, all preaching, then, is unto the glory of God in Jesus Christ. In Revelation 14, it speaks of faithful preachers, and it calls them angels, or the other word is messengers, and communicates, again, the goal of preaching. It says, "Then I saw another angel," that's the preacher, the messenger, "flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, 'Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and springs of water.'" Fear God and give glory to Him. So as we keep and continue studying preaching, let us keep those three goals in mind, remembering them for our discernment as we listen to preaching, wherever we listen to preaching, all for the glory of our King who sits on the throne. Let's pray. Our Father, we give You praise. We are thankful for preaching. We're thankful that You speak to us through Your holy Word. We ask that You would bring about the conversion, the salvation, the justification of those who are here present who are far from You. Even of our children who have said they believe. Father, make it true. Bring them into Your household. Make them to be adopted children of God. And give them faith, or by giving them faith. And so, Father, we ask in all of it, You would sanctify us, cleanse us of our sin, make us to be holy as Christ is holy, righteous as He is righteous. And all of it, may it be from this pulpit until it breaks down and crumbles and some other pulpit is replacing it, and all other places where there is preaching, may it all be unto the glory of God. Of Your name forever. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.